If you wouldn't mind opening to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Okay, well, let's take a minute and let's pray so we can just kind of regain our focus and get it back to where it needs to be on the Word, because we know that God's Word will not return void but accomplish the purpose that He set it out. So, Father, I just want to thank You for this amazing congregation. Lord, You've placed every person here for a purpose, for a reason, Lord, to receive what You have to say to them. So I pray, Lord, that You would help me, Lord God, fill me with Your Spirit, Lord God, my eyes, the way I see things, Lord, the way I speak, Lord, my tongue, Lord God, my heart, that overflow of my heart, my mouth would speak, Lord God, only what You want me to say. Erase from my mind and my heart and my spirit anything You don't want me to say, Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd give us here and the people that are watching a live stream and the people that watch later on video, open ears, open hearts to hear everything that Your Holy Spirit has to say to us, Lord God. We ask for Your blessing on this congregation, on every person that's here, Lord God, and every person that's watching online or watches online, Lord God, that You would strike them, Lord God, with a heart of passion for You and compassion for others, Lord God. And we ask that You would draw all men to Yourself as we lift You up, the name of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ. You would draw all men and women and children to Yourself, Lord God, that they may be saved, sanctified, and glorified. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We are finishing the book of Galatians, not today, but probably next week, but we are finishing this last chapter of Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We went through Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. As we had just finished up, Paul was talking about not going the route of the legalizers or not going the route of the flesh, but going the way of the Spirit. And if you're going the way of the Spirit of God, you're going to be not thinking of yourself. You're going to be thinking of others ahead of yourself. And that was our theme last week. And then if you remember in Galatians 6:1, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves or you may be tempted. And you remember we said from that was Galatians 6:1. That means brothers and sisters, that we should all be looking out for others, for one another. And that's the heart of a Christian. It's focused on Jesus because of what He's done for us. We're now focusing on other people because that's who He cares about. He cares about others. He cares about all of us. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you remember that word in Greek is prolambano, and that means overtaken in a sin or in the trap of sin, whether it be our flesh or maybe, you know, the enemy laid out a trap for us, that we're to restore them. Those who are spiritual doesn't mean that you have to be perfect, because is there anybody here who's a perfect Christian? If so, would you stand up? Hey, look at that. Nobody stood up. Hopefully nobody's standing up at home either, watching this on video, because none of us are perfect. But it does mean those who are filled with the Spirit, those who are governed by the Spirit of God, living and walking by the Holy Spirit, we should be restoring these people. And that word restore, katarizo, means to like you're resetting a bone, mend it. And that takes time, that takes care, that takes compassion. And that can only come if you're being constantly filled with the love of God. Otherwise, you're going to get tired. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to be like, oh, I just can't stand people, right? Let's be honest. If you live on this planet for any sort of time, right, that's the point to where you get, people just bug me. I just can't stand people. God, I just love You. I just don't like anybody else. And that's not okay. So you have to fill me, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit, that I may be filled with Your love and compassion so I can continue to reach out and focus on others. Because that's why you're here. Because you know what? If He just wanted to save you and that was it, you'd be gone. He doesn't. He wants to use you and the gifts that He's given you still. And it says to restore that person gently, not like Attila the Hun, proutes, with the spirit of meekness and humility. In other words, if someone is sinning, we don't want somebody to come along and just beat the snot out of us. What we're looking for is someone to restore us, to help mend that bone, to nurse us back to health gently, lovingly. Like Laura was saying, caringly. Isn't that right? And that's how we're supposed to be. And then it says, watch yourselves But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. So while you're doing this, make sure that you're not tempted as well. And then it said, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So thinking of others. And we left off, I think, around here, helping others, going the extra mile. All right, so we left off in Galatians 5:3, and I'm going to... 6:3. Yes, thank you so much. So I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go through Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 to 10. All right, let's read it together. Look in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one of us should test our own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers or to the household of God. And so I like how in Galatians 5:3, I like how the New Living Translation translates this verse. God bless you. You're welcome. And it helps us to understand it a little bit more. Because if he's talking about restoring, you know, he's talking about carrying others' burdens and things like that. We can't do that if we're focused on ourselves. And the reason why we'd be focused on ourselves is a little thing called pride. Listen, I got my stuff together. I don't need to worry about this person, her, him, that other person. Obviously, they're the lost cause. I don't need them. That's pride. You see, we were all that person who needed help. Every single one of us. Let me tell you, if you're saved here, I absolutely guarantee in Jesus' name that you were the person that needed help. I was. And Jesus sat with me. And Jesus was patient with me. And Jesus was kind to me. And he still is. And Jesus restored me. And Jesus helped carry my burdens. So now in response to that, who am I to think I'm better than anybody else? That's a haughty attitude. And that's one of the things that God hates. A haughty look, a haughty heart, a prideful heart. And so I like how the New Living Translation, I think this picture, scripture picture, really encapsulated. Because I don't know, doesn't that just seem like, yes, princess, that's right, good. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Listen, the bottom line is, and it's almost like the old adage, you know, there's an illustration of a bucket of water. And if you take a bucket of water and you dip your finger in it, right, and you take it out, eventually, it's still a bucket of water, right? None of us are that important. If you think God, listen, God can speak through a donkey. Why'd you look at me when you said true? What are you saying, Kathy? But that is true. But in a sense, right, God can use anything, anyone. He just chooses to use you. And he chooses to use you still because he's trying to bless others and bless you in the process. So don't think that you're better than anybody else because you're just not. And here's, God is so faithful because he loves you. If you ever get to the point to where you think, well, I'm not saying I'm any better than anybody else, but, you know, I really am, because I'm smarter than them. I'm more discerning than them. I'm richer than them. I've got more abilities than them. I've got more talents than them. I've got more whatever it is for you, influence, power, prestige. God has a really neat way of humbling you. The Bible says, take heed unless you fall. No, so let me give you a word of encouragement and warning at the same time. As a person who has suffered and been blessed with the Lord's rebuke in areas, I can tell you it's much better for you and for me and for us to humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will lift us up in due time. Amen? You and I have a choice. The Bible says this. Well, I would say maybe that's a little bit of a prideful statement. No. Touché! How the tables have turned. Because of the privilege and authority, this is Paul saying this. Oh, I didn't write down the scripture verse. Whoopsie daisies. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, Paul says, I give you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God's given us. Well, listen, let's just say you're just such a man of God. And he has given you the faith to move mountains, or to pray the socks off of somebody, or to believe when no one else can, or you have some gift of the Holy Spirit that's, wow, really cool. Well, guess what? It's the Lord who gave you that in the beginning, no matter what. Well, but I'm really smart, Lord. Who do you think gave you that? Well, I have blessings of finance. Who gave you that? He can all take it all away, too. Let me tell you, and I've watched him do it many times. So listen, don't think you're better than you really are. Okay? Like the Pharisees in Jesus' time, Paul's showing us what prevents us from fulfilling a role as a burden bearer or a restorer of people, of a fallen brother or sister, and it's thinking of themselves more important than they are. It's thinking, oh, I could never fall that into that sin. Have you ever thought that? I could never do that. Some of you are saying no. Some of you are saying, well, yeah. Listen, given the right circumstances, the right thing, let me tell you, we're all capable of a lot of depravity. Only by his grace are we saved. So let's keep that in mind when we're reaching out to people, when we're restoring people, right? Do you hear me, Vinny? Do you hear me, Ezekiel? Let's remember that. If a Christian neglects or refuses to bear others' burdens, listen, I just don't want to be bothered with that. It's because they're thinking about themselves more than others. It's because they think themselves above it. But God says you're self-deceived, because in God's economy, serving is the goal. Serving others is the main goal. Pride means nothing. It really doesn't matter. Listen, the disciples were always arguing, you know, hey, who's the greatest? I'm more influential than you. No, it's me. It's me. I'm the one. And Jesus called all those disciples over to him. And he said, listen, you want to be first. Ah, this one, I want to sit at your left. I want to sit at your right. And Jesus said, okay. If anyone wants to be first, he said, you must be the very last and the... That means those who least deserve it or least even expect it. Because you know what? As we're growing, especially if we're growing in the Lord, can I tell you what? And if you've ever had kids, you know this. Sometimes children's attitudes, sometimes they're great. Sometimes not so much. Isn't it true? And as they're growing, you're instilling things. And sometimes you can be downright and great. All of us have been teens at one time, right? It doesn't have to be a teen. I'm just using that as an example, Miriam. Thank you. I just picked that. Anyway, for example, as a teen, right? Because that's what I associate with, right? I personally can tell you, I was very self-focused. It wasn't until much later that I realized, oh my goodness, what a self-centered knucklehead I have been. My mom's been slick. I didn't think twice. She's making a meal. Feed me food. What? Dad's paying the bill. I don't think about electric. I don't think about water. I need this. And it's not till later on for many of us that we look back and go, oh my goodness, look at the sacrifice they were making. Look at the time they took for me. Look at the care. Look at the prayer. Look at the whatever. I didn't realize what a punk I was, right? In the same way, when people are new in the Lord and they're growing in areas, doesn't matter their age, because we could become a Christian at 5 or 55 or 105. We're young in the Lord. And so we need to be patient and help others to grow and to serve them in the meantime. Does that make sense, everybody? Jesus served us. He's the king of the universe. He didn't have to serve anybody, yet he chose to serve us. In fact, at the end of this whole thing, when we see Jesus face to face, he's going to say something to us. He's going to say something that I think is really important. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful financier. Well done, good and faithful. Yeah, I can go through a million things. You get the idea. What prophecy giver? What does he say? Well done, my good and faithful. Yes. Listen. And he says, you've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of my Lord. That can only happen by asking Jesus to continually fill us. Because listen, whether you want to believe it or not, you, or I'll just say me, I'm a selfish, self-centered critter. I am, by nature. Yet I have the Holy Spirit in me, which says, yeah, but you're not supposed to be like that. I want you to put that self-centered nature off and take on an other-centered nature. It only almost reminds me of a parent. Like, again, I use this with children. And if you're a parent, you know what this is. You sacrifice for your kids. You do. You sacrifice time. You sacrifice effort. You want to be more for them. And sometimes you give of yourself when you've got nothing to give. And that's how we're to be as a Christian. That's why we have to ask Jesus, continue to fill me. Because our batteries run low, right? Look at this scripture picture. It's from Philippians 2, 3 to 4. The Bible says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing. But rather in humility, I want you to value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but I want you, my son, my daughter, God says, to look to the interests of others. And isn't that a beautiful picture, right? Of a mom, a dad, just giving and filling. Look, she's in the red as that battery is going down, and she and the kid is in the green. Could you bring that back there, please? Thank you so much. But yet, we're to be preferring others' needs ahead of our own. As a Christian, and if you know that you're saved, you know what God has given you, you have been given a lot. And he wants to give you more. So in so doing, you keep that heart attitude of others. Yes, you had a question or statement?
You know, it's honestly kind of sad because if you would see like a modern day person look at that, you know, they would usually see it as very disgusted because they would feel like, why aren't you keeping that for yourself? You know, because like the whole world in its eyes sees itself as, you know, like strengthen yourself, you know, like Yes. You have to be the best. You have to keep everything Yeah. To yourself. You have to do Yes. This. It's all about me rather than you. And it's kind of sad because the Lord's message was the complete opposite of that, you know, like we're Yes. In such a environment, you know, with the Pharisees and the Romans who are so based on their own needs, Yes. Their own desires, their own wishes. Yes. It was just such a contrast because it was everything that the world's, everything that stood against what the world represented during mm-hmm. that time, and even still to this day.
Yes, amen. The next verse says, and I like, this is Galatians 5:4. I like how I think I got the New Living Translations, because it says something, it says it in a way that helps me to understand it better. It says, listen, God says, I want you to pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. And so when it's so easy to look at others, look at what somebody else has, look at what they got, what their ministry is, their gifts is, and we're always wanting to compare ourselves with others. God doesn't want you to do that. We should be thankful for the things that he has given you. He has made you unique, and that's a blessing. And he's done it for a reason. He's done it so that you can serve one another. Does that make sense, everyone? Did you have a statement that you wanted to make, Lester? I noticed you had a microphone in hand. Sorry, I apologize. I didn't notice that you did that.
No problem. Talking about humility, it reminded me of a scripture in 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And I heard someone say already that, hey, God has two hands, where we humble ourselves under the one hand, then with the other hand, he lifts us up.
Yes.
But when he lifts us up, it's in humility.
Yes, amen. That's correct. Absolutely correct. And Paul, through the pen of the Holy Spirit, is stressing the importance of our focus. It's so easy to get caught on ourselves. I want what's best for me. You know what? It's really not about you. It's about what he wants. Listen, as Christians, it's so easy to focus, too, on criticizing another person, another ministry, instead of working hard, focusing on ourselves and the work God has for us. It's easy for you to look at her or him or them and say, they should be doing this. Well, God, meanwhile, is saying, hey, take the log out of your own eye before you remove the speck in your brother's or sister's eye. Maybe we should probably spend more time asking God, Lord, work on my heart first, right? And then when he does, and you realize, oh, what a sinner, and oh, how gracious he's been, then we humbly reach out to other people. Because we know he's done so much for us. Does that make sense? Listen, each one of us is going to be answerable to God for our own work, not for the work of others. So listen, ask him, search me, even if you're looking at it, and search me, O Lord. See if there's any wicked way within me, Psalm 139 says. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to reveal things that we can't even see so that we can deal with it. Galatians 5:5 goes on to say, for each one should carry their own load or their own burden. And when we read that, some of you guys might be thinking, wait a minute. Each one should carry our own burden. I remember from a couple weeks ago, and you told us that we're to carry each other's burdens. That's what the word said in Galatians 5:2. And this way we fulfill the law of Christ, not because we have to, because we want to. Is that a complete contradiction with Galatians 6? I have 5:5. I'm so sorry. That's 6:5. I didn't have time to review my sermon this morning. Now I see why. This is what happens. So, sorry, Galatians 6:5. For each one should carry their own burden. Okay, so what's the difference? Well, if we do this, if we go back to this scripture verse, when it says carry each other's burdens, okay? And we talked about a couple weeks ago in a lot of detail, that word for burdens is baros, and that's a crushing weight. It describes in secular writing a heavy grief, heavy troubles, or heavy consequences of sin. In fact, it's so heavy that it's hard to bear it alone. Do you know what I mean? We've messed up or whatever. That's when we're to come along and grab some of those burdens. We're to be helping one another. Everybody in here, I shouldn't say everybody, most people in here are hurting in some way. Did you know that? They're hurting. They're damaged. You don't know about it. If you knew what I knew about everybody in here, you would be a lot more gracious, a lot more caring, a lot more loving to people. But that word for burden is different than the word here. For each one should carry on their own burden. That means, the word in Greek is phortheon. And that means Paul's speaking like a personal responsibility. It's in Greek, it's used to describe a backpack. And it's actually, in most Greek, it's used to describe a Roman backpack that the soldiers would carry. And it would look like something like this. And it's called the sarcina. And when it says to carry your own burden, in that backpack, these soldiers would have everything they needed to live. Their basic essentials. They would have, you know, a saucepan or something that they could boil meat with. Or they'd have their pickaxe. They'd have their utensils, a knife. They'd have a bed mat in here rolled up with a red woolen blanket. And basically just everything. Wherever they went, they'd have everything they needed on that sarcina, on that backpack. And that word to carry your own burden, that's what it was used to describe. So each of us has a responsibility to carry our own stuff. And so we have to be balanced. So what God is saying is, hey, I've given you guys, there's some stuff that I've given you, only you can bear. She can't do it. He can't do it. I can't do it. There's stuff you have to learn to be responsible for yourselves. And I say that because there's some of us out there or in this culture that are, we have to get a handout from everybody and anything. And we have to, and they're like a black hole. You will never be able to give them enough because they're not carrying their own backpack. We have to take responsibility and say, okay, this is my stuff. This is the stuff God has given me. I'm going to take responsibility for it. I need to carry this stuff. This is for me. Does that make sense? And I have to carry that. You can't unload that, offload on everybody else. This is my stuff. Now, if you get into trouble, you get into jam, and you need help, and there's extra stuff that you're carrying, that's when the sin, that's the other burden. Then we're to carry that stuff. But there's a personal responsibility that we each need to have with the Lord, stuff that only He gives us that we have to carry. Does that make sense? The Bible says, look, we're all going to be judged independently. You know, even if you're married or if the pastor really loves you, that makes no difference. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us will receive what is due us for the things we did while in the body, whether good or bad. There was a time... So there's a balance. Some of us here, there might be some here that aren't carrying your own backpack. And you're a burden to everybody else because of that. And that shouldn't be. And God's saying you need to be responsible because you're responsible to me to carry your own load. Do you hear me? And then there's some that God's saying, I need you to start taking some burdens on. Listen, okay, the Lord told me not to give that illustration. Oh. Sorry, please forgive me. Give me a hand here, please, Lord. Okay, so, but there's also, there's maybe some folks here that because they see so many of those extra burdens, they're trying to carry everybody's burdens. You know, the pastor isn't the one that carries the burden. The children's ministry isn't the one that carries the pastor's, the director of the school, the associate, listen, it's all of our jobs. Jesus is saying it's your job to help lift some of those extra loads. You're all ministers. Can I just be honest with you? Congratulations, you're a minister. That means, you know what minister means in Greek? Servant. You're a minister, teens. Nehemiah, you're a servant. Klingbells, you're a servant, and you're a servant of the Lord. And can I tell you? So some of you might have to stop taking some of the burdens, and some of you need to start Because there's some people that are getting really worn out because they're carrying too many burdens, because not enough people are carrying burdens. Now listen, I'm not pointing, but you know, if God's speaking to you. But getting back to the text, he's talking about taking personal responsibility to carry your own load and that personal, our personal stuff. And sometimes we can spend so much time looking at other people. I think of the time when Peter was restored. Do you remember that? It was after Jesus, you know, death. He went out fishing. He's like, I can't do this whole Christian thing anymore. I just need to go back to doing what I was doing. It's easier. I know it. I'm good at it. I don't have any responsibilities. I'm going to go fish, right? And you remember the story, and he saw Jesus, right? And he's like, he saw Jesus, he's like, oh, it's cooking on the shoreline. You know, I don't know, he was making a fish fry or something. And he's like, Peter, you know, he's so happy. Peter, do you love me? Because remember, Peter denied him three times. He says, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Yeah. Then I need you to go back and do what I call, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, remember? You know I do. Go feed my sheep then. Peter, do you love me? Three times, right? First three mistakes. Just put it in his Peter language. And he's like, Lord, you know I do. He said, good. I want you to go feed my sheep. And then he told him, look, when you were young, you got to do whatever you wanted to do. And this is what now that you're following you. And he told him the way how he's going to. And then Peter, he's like, okay. Yeah, he saw John. And he's like, oh, okay, I hear about me. Enough about me, Jesus. What about this guy? What about John? Let's focus on him now. What about him? And Jesus says something really interesting, and I think it's a good message for us when we're always thinking about other people. He says this as Jesus was there. This is in John chapter 21. This is verse 21. But it says, Jesus answered Peter, listen, if I want John to remain alive until I come again, what is that to you? In other words, Peter, don't focus on everybody else. You simply be faithful to what I've told you to do and who I've told you to be. And then he said, you must follow me. Don't. Yeah, but he's doing that, or he gets to do that, or look at that. Don't worry about all that. Jesus is saying, you follow me. Does that make sense? Galatians 6:6 goes on to say, how long have I been teaching, Pastor Gary?
35 minutes.
Okay, because we have a communion message, and I know God has specifically given me a communion message for the folks at home and for you, at least part of it. And so I am positive of that, so I want to make sure that I may speed through some of this stuff. Galatians 6:6 says, anyone who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Now, I'll be honest, a lot of Bible teachers and people I know and respect say that all of a sudden, out of the blue, he's talking about saying, you need to pay your pastor. That's what they're talking about. And so I could be wrong here, but I don't think that's what he's saying, because it doesn't flow with the passage. Like, he wouldn't be talking about this, hey, you need to pay your pastor. You need to pay your preacher. Do you know what I'm saying? So it says, anyone who receives, we're talking about thinking of others and sharing things, right? And he's like, look, if anyone who receives instruction in the word, which would that include you? Okay. Then it says you're to share all good things with their instructor. So to me, that means things like, right, praise reports, encouragement. Pastor Gary, I'm putting you on the spot, and I just want you to be honest in Jesus' name. Now, people don't know what ministers or those who are in the ministry go through. The level amps up so much on spiritual warfare, attacks. Usually when people come, can I just be honest? many times it's when they're hurt the most, damaged, so they complain, they lash out. So you usually get the worst of the worst, almost like a cop who gets to see all the bad stuff that's going on. What does it do to you when somebody brings a word of encouragement? Thank you for that Bible study.
Refreshing. It just push you back where you can serve some more.
Yeah. It's refreshing. I can't tell you. When somebody sends me a text that says some good thing. Oh, your Bible study. I was so blessed by that study. Oh, I was so blessed by that chapel. Thank you for investing in my son. Thank you for loving on my family. Thank you. Right. Refocus. Right. You're doing this for the Lord. Right. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. When you do that, and that's what he's talking about, share. Could he be talking about finances and money? Absolutely. You can share that with your pastor, okay? But it says all good things. So I wrote on here, it means and includes all things, like speaking a kind word to them. Sometimes just nice hear something kindness. You're desperate for it. Because I'm just being honest. Sometimes it's sending a note of encouragement. I can't. When I get a text of, man, I am, it's amazing. Or sometimes it's letting them know you're praying. Hey, I'm praying for you today. Out of the blue, somebody last week like, why did I get that text saying you're praying for me out of the blue? Because I want to encourage you. The Lord put you on my heart. I'm praying for you. It's nice to know. If you're sincerely praying for that person, that's a beautiful thing. You know what else is great? Sharing what God's convicting you of. Sometimes I'll get a call, man, the Lord. Sometimes somebody will sit up here after service. I'm really in tears. Sometimes somebody will send me a text. I'm really being convicted of this and that. Don't ever be embarrassed about that. I say hallelujah. I'm so encouraged. That means the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit is going out. And that's a wonderful thing. God, the King of the universe, is speaking personally because of something this donkey said. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Sometimes it's sharing a victory, a praise report, like you said. Hearing that. Sometimes it's seeing a praise report and changes in a life. I'm coming back to church. I'm starting to get my life right back in line with the Lord. I'm starting to do devotionals again, Pastor. I'm interested in the Word. I'm reading this book. I'm doing what you said. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. Or sometimes it's how you're ministering to others or sharing in the work. Oh, my goodness. We need help here. And well, this church doesn't have this, that, and the other, and this, that. Well, that's why God has called you and your family. Get off your duff and serve. Maybe he's called you to start that ministry. That's why he's showing you that. Instead of being critical, why don't they have? That's the pride. He's saying, and maybe God's showing you that, saying, this is how you serve. Let's figure out a way. Does that make sense? I can't tell you, all those things are much valuable money. When I see you following the Lord, can I just tell you something? Somebody started a website. This is for my scripture pictures. Somebody did that in this church. Somebody started an Instagram. I don't even know how to start an Instagram for the church, and so that these sermons can go out. And people started following. And same thing with the scripture picture website, scripturepicture.org. And some people started helping. You know, somebody put a soda in there for me, my favorite kind. And I'm thinking, I was right before Share Jesus Without Fear Bible study. And I was like, I'm so thirsty. I was like, oh my goodness. Just don't want water again. It's all I don't. And I opened it up. And I'm like, there's this soda. And it's my favorite soda. I'm like, what are the chances? And somebody said, somebody put that there for you just to bless you. Somebody picked up our kids the other day from an event. I was studying. My wife couldn't, migraine. She couldn't even open her eyes practically. Oh, man, So, guys, I'm telling you. These things mean more to money. If you want to really bless this pastor, the best thing you can do, honest to God, you come to church, you grow in the Lord, you be faithful to minister to others here in this body, and then you go out to minister to others. Nothing, and I speak for Pastor Gary, I speak for Lisa, I know, nothing will make us happier than that. Listen, we're happy to receive tithes and offerings, fantastic. Don't get me wrong, we need that. But comparison to you growing, nothing makes my heart happier. And nothing makes our heart happier. I don't know who has the microphone, but if you could pass that over to that gentleman there, that would be great. Oh, the Lord's telling me not to go along. He's so good, though.
When we do that, what Pastor D is talking about, we're fulfilling the Revelation 12, verse 10. It says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What we're doing is we are testifying to each other what God has done in our lives and through us. And that is such an encouragement when we encourage each other, because it's not just the pastor's job to encourage others. It's our job too.
Yeah. Pastor Gary, how long?
45 minutes.
Okay. So, So I think we're going to have to, unfortunately, I got through three verses, because I feel like this communion message, the Lord has something. The next section is super important, and it's on sowing and reaping. It is critical to your Christian walk. And there are different laws of sowing and reaping, and I so want to share that with you, but we're going to have to wait a week or two for this next section, because I feel like the Lord would have us do that. So, Pastor Gary, if I could ask you to grab a mic and grab a stool. Thank you. Do we have another stool over here? Oh, thanks. So, I mean, just ignore all these slides that I'm going to quick scroll through. Ready? I'm going to get to a part where I need to be, okay? Ka-chow. Ignore all these scrolls. You don't see anything. Okay, fantastic. Oh, it's such a good one. All right. Oh, I so wanted to share that stuff. But the Lord has messages for each of us. He's given something that God has given something specifically. And sometimes we'll share the word and we trust God. And sometimes he gives us stuff specifically. So it's interesting. God gave something specifically to Pastor Gary, yes, for the bread, and me for the cup, for us. So this is important.
Let's start, and don't look it up. I think the Lord would just have you listen carefully. Okay, this is a passage that we're all familiar with from Luke chapter 22. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared for the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and the apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Pastor?
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Gary. This, as we go through this communion, just out of curiosity, how many of you here saw Jim Fox last week from Chosen People Ministry? Raise your hand. Okay, if you had not seen that online, it was Christ, Messiah, and the Passover. Blow you away, fantastic. Am I right?
Amen.
It was amazing. It was a special guest speaker, and it was fantastic. Now, in that Passover, we had a Passover Seder. We removed the couch. We had a Passover Seder. We explained how Christ... Now, Passover has been celebrated for, you know... Yes, thousands of years, right. So when we celebrate communion, Jesus was in the upper room, and he was celebrating Passover. It was something that all the disciples were familiar with because there was a certain liturgy to the Passover that he was sharing, right? And you see it all the time. Do you want to have them? Okay. So as he's, you remember there were four cups. Do you remember what they were? Remember what the first cup was?
Sanctification.
Sanctification. Good. All right. I got it up here just to remind you. Now, he called the second one something different than I've heard. And they're interchangeable. I actually talked to him this morning to make sure. He said the cup of judgment. I call it the cup of deliverance. It was when he rescued, when the judgments came, and God said, I'm going to deliver you. So the cup of sanctification was the first cup in that Passover celebration. The second cup is a cup of judgment or the cup of deliverance. The third one is the cup of redemption, right? Because I will redeem you, right, with my outstretched arm, or the cup of salvation, some will call it. And the fourth one was the cup of praise, as they celebrate the Passover. Now, what was really cool is, in that time, in Jesus' time, there was a custom. And the custom was this. When a young man, wanted to marry, found a woman that, it's old school, found a woman that he loved, and he wanted to marry, what would happen traditionally is the fathers would meet and they would negotiate a bride price. Now, that bride price wasn't for the sale of a woman. Okay, I just want to make sure because some people... What the bride price was to replace the loss of this valuable, beautiful daughter in the family. And this bride price was expensive. Like, when we're talking, it would be like buying a home today. That's how valuable and precious. So they would negotiate the bride price. What would happen during this time is once they did that, the father would take a cup and he would pour into that cup and he would give it to his son. The son would take that cup to that woman or girl, and he would raise the cup up to her and say, now that you know, keep this in mind, remember the Passover celebration we just settled, and those of you who watched online, because I know there was a bunch of people who watched it online, think about this. He would take that cup and he would raise it up to her and he would say, this is the new covenant in my blood that I offer to you, take and drink from it. Now, that woman could take that cup, examine it, and say, no, and give it back, saying, I don't want to partake in your life. I don't want to be married to you. I don't want your love, and I don't want that commitment. Or what the woman would do, this is important, is she would take that cup if she wanted to, they wanted them to be married and to spend their life together, would take that cup without saying a word and would drink the cup. And in so doing, saying, I receive the love that you have and that you're laying down your life for me and I'm going to lay my life down for you. Now, with that being said, what you learned about the Passover, as he was going through the cups, the cup of just sanctification, the cup of deliverance, got to the cup of redemption, the cup of salvation, okay? That is not a normal part of the celebration. He stopped the Passover and he said to his disciples, he raised the cup and he says to them, this is the new covenant which I'm offering to you, the covenant in my blood. Now, there's probably a lot of meanings to that, but he hands them the cup. Now, that was not in the Passover ceremony. What he's saying is, I love you so much. It was like a marriage proposal. He's saying, I want our lives to be united. Now, I bet you the disciples were saying, what is he doing? This is like a marriage proposal. Like we're the bride of Christ? That's exactly what it was. As soon as the Lord told me, I want you to say that this week. So I want you to think about this. When you take that cup today, if you're a Christian and you're drinking that cup, the only way Jesus could express his love and his commitment to you, what he's saying with that cup of redemption, of salvation, stopped. He's offering it to you, his disciples. And he says, I want us to be together. I am giving up my life for you. And when you take that cup and you drink it, you're acknowledging. Listen, kids, teens, everybody, stop, listen. Come back to me. When you take that cup, you're saying, I want to be married. I want to be in a life together, a commitment together. I receive your life, this new covenant, and I want to be a part of that. That's the love that Christ has for you. And by you taking and drinking that cup, that is what you're saying to him. Does that make sense? And that's what he wanted you to know today, so that you have a beautiful picture of that redemption, of that salvation, of that love that he has. So when you take it and you drink it, that's what you're saying to him. I want you to have that in mind when you take that cup today. Okay? Pastor Gary.
Gentlemen, you can start passing out the elements. It's fascinating because the other day we knew we were going to split this communion message, and I had something in my mind, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit had something else in mind, and now I think I understand why. I want to tell you a story. Right? When we moved here, and Mary Kate and the kids, they always wanted a dog. Well, yeah, she's beginning to. I'm allergic, seriously allergic to dogs and cats, right? And I know, frankly, pets can be a problem. It's hard to potty train a puppy, let's be honest, right? And I told them, well, maybe if we had a fenced yard after we moved, we could get a puppy. Well, we moved, didn't have a fenced yard, and they were after me and after me and after me. So finally, to be honest, I just wanted to get them off of my back, right? And you guys have been there, right? So I tell Mary Kate, look, you make the decision. Right now, in my mind, I said, you know, pray about it. I figure it's going to take her days, weeks to hear an answer from the Lord. 1 hour later, 1 hour later, I get a phone call telling me that where she's going to pick up this puppy in 2 days. Right, that's how long it takes right now. How many of you all have a pet in the house? Dog, cat? Look at it, almost everybody. Okay. Now, you ask yourself, okay, well, what does that have to do with communion? Gentlemen, don't forget us. And Chris, Craig, good up there. Okay, what does this have to do with communion? Okay, well, I'm glad you asked that question. Right now, last Sunday,
put it right there.
Jim Fox, right, he talked about the Passover lamb, right? And he said, and he's right, that the lamb was to be in the house for 4 days before Passover was served. Okay, and the purpose was that they could verify that the lamb was without blemish, right? Because the sacrifice had to be a lamb without blemish. And that's absolutely true. But I think the Lord has a second reason in mind for that. Now, at the time, right, it wasn't like they'd have sheep out in a pasture 40 acres away. It was right in their next to their home, like their backyard. And in most cases, it was actually a room under the same roof with the family, almost like you had a sheep in your bedroom, a lamb in your bedroom, right? Now, think about it, right? Mary-Kate knew that this puppy, the kids fell in love with it immediately. It took me 3 days. Right. Okay, I think the Lord knew that this lamb would be with the family for 4 days, right? And the children, being children, would probably go pet this lamb, right? And the lamb would make friendly sounds being petted by the children. Who knows? Maybe even the father started having feelings toward the lamb. But then the time came to sacrifice the lamb. Your father had to butcher this lamb. Right? You can imagine the children going, "Daddy, you can't do that. We love this lamb." Right? And dad goes, "Well, no, I have to, because if I don't, there will be death." And so now you all are holding pieces of matzah and a little bit of grape juice in your hands. I think we should recognize how much we love this Jesus. Right? We love our pets. How much more should we love this Jesus who has spent days, years, decades in our life? Right? As Pastor Darren just said, right? He's holding out his blood, saying, "I want you to be my bride." You can't turn that down. You can't turn that down. And so now, I hope join me in prayer. Chris is going to give us a little bit of quiet background music, and I think it's time to thank the Lord for His love. Let Him know how much you love Him, and how much you accept His marriage proposal.
Don, can you come down here for a minute, please? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pastor Gary? Is there something you feel led to? Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to pray for this cup. And Brother's going to lead us. Pray whatever the Holy Spirit's leading. But we're just going to ask him to pray. And as you take this cup, just remember how much he loves you. And that he wants to be with you, like, through thick and thin. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you, Father, for this this holy covenant, God, that you've made with us. And the covenant of our salvation, God. We thank you for your body that was broken. And for the blood, God, that you shed for our sins, Father. You brought forgiveness through your sacrifice, God. You brought the opportunity to come before your Father unashamed, God, because of what you accomplished on the cross. We should just consider all that you've done as we take this cup and we take this bread that represents your sacrifice, God. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Pastor Gary, should we take the bread and the cup? Is that okay? All right. Let's do that now. Let's take the bread and the cup. I receive it, Lord. There's anything you want to say in closing us out, you're welcome to.
Just that may the Lord bless you this week and return you next Sunday for a wonderful testimonial service with loving hands and a church barbecue and picnic. Have a blessed week, everyone.
Amen.